Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on PBS Radio Talk Show. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. And as every time when we have our show, we with our Cyber Travel, we are visiting tonight, actually, Brian David Anderson. And I just wanted to welcome you, Brian. Good evening.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Thanks for listening. I'm so appreciative that you took actually my invitation, and it was pretty spontaneous. But what I really like that be because the topic is just so extraordinary, and the topic what we will talk about today is our precious element, the closest to oxygen, what is water. Okay, Brian, what I decided to do is this. You have an amazing bio. So what I did, I put the entire bio on the radio show site so I would let people know so they can read about. But I decided I will cut it until 1987 because this is where you did a turnaround, and that is an incredible important period of life for you.
Yes.
Because it took you onto this new direction. Is this okay with you?
That is fine.
Okay, well, I know. I mean, I read your bio, and you had an amazing adventure in the photography, which was pretty amazing to read it, I have to tell you that. But then, 1987, you did an incredible turn in your career, and you became independent researcher, inventor, and scientist specializing in alternative healthcare. Good for you. Congratulations, because this is a pretty hot topic, actually, today. And this is what actually became the base for your new technology, what you actually developed down the road. So what you're actually doing with this cutting edge technology, you are actually connecting, Brian, the dots between hydration, cell repair, and stem cells. So what I would like you to do is, this is how I would like to, you know, go with our conversation tonight. Help us understand everything about water, and then so we can go into, practically we have right now a problem, and then we will go into the solutions. How is that?
Alrighty.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
So tell us about this precious element, water. What we know and what we don't know.
Well, basically is that the first statement to make, and I believe it's very accurate, is that our bodies are like Ferraris.
And, ooh, that's good.
So at the top of the biological chain of all living and biological entities, the human being is at the top of the whole rung, per se. And as I said, we are the Ferrari. Now, would you put regular type of gasoline or kerosene in your Ferrari?
I don't think so.
Yeah. And so that's once we have our consciousness of who we really are. We're one of the highest life forms on this planet, and I think even probably the solar system and even probably our whole type of universe is that the way we're biologically structured. There may be other species that are more technologically advanced, but our biological type of system is very, very advanced. And
I would say I agree with that on some level, yes.
So there may be others, but still, we're as I said, we're in the Ferrari category. And so the liquids and the fuel that we put under our body must also equal that particular type of level. And regretfully, that is does not occur in most of the world. We are putting in very inferior types of liquids and also solid foods, etc. So the whole topic then is what is the best fuel for us, and especially when it comes down to water. The best illustration I always like, I use this in my book, Superhydrate and Charge Your Cells.
Mm-hmm.
I did a tour of Hawaii in the lava caves, and this was about 7-8 years ago. And what happens is the water would drip down through these lava caves, and the tree roots would also then follow the water. So when we got, there were almost a good 1,000 feet under ground, here we'd see these tree roots, and that was just simply following the water. I looked over there, and there was a small little type of wooden container. And I asked our guide, we happened to have just a private type of session in this tour that we did, and this is a gourd pot, and says that's where they was collecting water, and then only a certain class of people would drink this water. Now, I knew nothing about Hawaii whatsoever, and the Big Island, that's where we were, and I had no idea what their history was or whatever. And knowing the thing I know about water, I said, well, because this water is now coming down through, it's a fresh distilled water that's coming out of the clouds. It's going down through all of this magnetite and hematite that's in the lava, and trickling through and being structured. That was the key thing, is that water is being structured. It was coming mm-hmm. through the lava. And then now they were, you know, taking these precious drops, and then only a certain higher class of people, the lower, the working class, collected it for the higher class. And I said, well, the people who drank this water had to be faster, they had to be stronger, they had to be more intelligent, they had to be more motivated, they had to be just more everything. And I said, this probably, they were outstanding, not only in Hawaii, but probably throughout the whole Pacific type of region, specifically because of drinking this water. And it was interesting, the lady, almost like a little light went on in top of her head. I just saw her face kind of light up. And she goes, well, you know, that is correct. The people who drank this were all the mucky mucks. They were all the royalty of Hawaii. And so here it was that because of this structured water, they had an advantage over everyone. And there was actually a book written by another Hawaiian author about how different this class of people were. And as far as what she was, the guide said, I was the first person to ever connect the water with the people.
That's actually an amazing story, yes.
And so there again, it gives you an example of how water can literally not only affect an individual, but an entire society. And this has also been repeated. There is things, Hunza, in Asia, there's also a similar type of thing happens in South America where they're collecting rainwater and they were all, you know, had all the super energy and they would live long lives and that type of thing. And then when the white man came over from Europe into from Europe to Hawaii, the royals stopped drinking this water. They stopped collecting it and drinking it. And it probably was one of the biggest tragedies that happened to the royalty, is that stopped drinking this water. So the question being is then, now do we all have to go to Hawaii to get the water? And there is a definite emphatic answer, no. We can also have access and create water that is very similar, if not even equal to that water that was dripping through those lava caves into those gourd pots. We have the technology now to do that. And it's two things that I always recommend on water. Again, that water that comes out of the clouds, understand that our whole planet is nothing but a huge distillation system. We drink, or literally the plants are now absorbing distilled water, because the water goes up in a vapor into the clouds and it recombines into and condenses and then comes back as a drop. And that's exactly what a distiller does also. It creates a type of steam. The steam then, as it goes into the steam, it leaves all the particulates, it leaves all the contamination behind, and then all that comes down is what you really truly want, is just simply as pure as possible to have only hydrogen and oxygen. And
Brian, let me just kind of ask you a question. When you were talking about, you know, the water, rain coming from the water coming from the clouds in the form of rain, is it still valid even though today we have this, you know, chemtrails and so much chemicals in the air? Is it still valid for that?
I believe that once that the rain starts, yes, mm-hmm. it's good, because basically what these chemtrails do is they cut the top of the clouds off so they can't condense. When there are no chemtrails, then the clouds have the ability to condense, and I don't believe that there will be. If it is, it's a minor type of contamination. So simply the reason why that they're chemtrailing is to cut off the top of the clouds so that they do not produce rain, or in a certain manner where they can direct the rain. They can direct the clouds with the chemtrails. So whenever you, I live in Palm Desert, and I've been mm-hmm. watching the skies now for a long time. You know, we have our drought now in California, and what's interesting is when the chemtrails come over, there's no rain. When there's no chemtrails, there's rain. So finally now people are starting to recognize this in California, and there's a lot of people asking questions because mm-hmm. I mean it's a simple mathematical type of thing. You have chemtrails, you have no clouds. You have clouds, you have no chemtrails. And so I would say that if the contamination's there, it's very minor. Because most of that chemtrail then regretfully all falls mostly to the ground. It does not stay probably airborne. So once the cloud comes in, it's probably still fairly pristine. Mostly that would probably more affect that would be carbon gases coming from automobiles and that type of thing. So when the Earth was first started and formed, whatever created our planet, they did it with the intention that this would be a massive, huge distiller. And so basically that process still happens today as it did from the very first days of the Earth. And so all of our plants, all of our everything is all nurtured by distilled water. And what does that mean? Is that distilled or that plants, animals, and humans, when you look down at the molecular level, that we all have the same chemical elements and molecules in plants, animals, and humans. All biological entities have the same chemical elements in them, in the mm-hmm. cells themselves. The only difference is the arrangement. So when we look at it and we say, okay, that distilled water that's coming down from the sky and hitting the plants and making it grow, then that extrapolating and saying that's also going to help all biological life forms, including humans, because we're all basically the same except for the arrangement. One of the key things also is that was discovered in the late 1990s by traditional scientists is that there is a phosphorus-based sheath around every human, animal, and plant cell. And for me, that changes everything because, and it gives us a total different type of awareness and who we are and what we are. So what this phosphorus sheath, it will only allow light particles to come through that membrane. Chemical elements don't. So when or we're either the liquid is coming from the sky or the blood is passing through by the cells, the only thing that is pulled off is simply the light particles of the vitamins and nutrients. So basically, we have two realities to our human existence and also plants and animals, is that we have the chemical elements that are outside the cell, then those light particles are pulled through off of them, then those light particles are reassembled into chemical elements inside the cell. So we have two realities. We have a reality inside the cell, and we have a reality outside the cell. And when we have an imbalance, when those two existing entities are imbalanced, that's disease, that's fatigue, et cetera. And when they are in balance and that phosphorus sheath is being able to pass both bring in the light particles and expel the light particles that have now been exhausted per se and needed to be expelled, when that balance occurs, then we have a tremendous amount of health, vitality, that type of thing. So basically, I believe the whole emphasis of our health is all around keeping that phosphorus sheath balanced, and there's many ways we can imbalance it, and keeping those light particles flowing through. And when you have a distilled water having as much hydrogen and oxygen and no other type of other chemical elements, which we call contaminants, so there is no copper, there's no calcium, it's just a pure water. And it has the most opportunity to then pass through that phosphorus sheath. If there is water, then it has other chemical elements in it, i.e. like tap water, that type of thing. Yes, there will be a pass-through of those light particles, but not to the certain degree that distilled water will do. But also what's important about distilled water is that when it comes out of the sky and it drops on your car hood, what's happening is it spirals up into that steam and then condenses back together. And when it drops on your car hood, that drop of water spreads out. It holds itself together. It doesn't beat up. It just spreads out. That's what's called surface tension. And it holds itself together. However, when it comes out of a distiller, then it has no organization. It doesn't have that massive spiraling like it does in the sky. So when that comes from the distiller, when that drop comes down on the distiller, hits your car hood, it beads up and breaks apart. And so that's also happens in your body. When you're drinking distilled water that is not organized, then it's going to seek that organization and pull the vitamins and nutrients out of your body so that it can have organization. So the objective is to take the distilled water or any other type of water. It doesn't matter. It can be tap water. It can be bottled water. It can be filtered. It can be reverse osmosis. I'm always a big believer in distilled, but it can be any type of water. And what you're wanting to do is put those molecules in the light particles in as much coherent a movement as possible. The best way I always like to describe this, if you can imagine that the light particles are like balls on a pool table, and when you put them in the rack, and then you hit it with the ball, all the balls go everywhere, they scatter everywhere. And then somebody tells you, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to move all these balls simultaneously in a left-handed turn pattern around the table. Well, that's almost impossible. You can't do that. But once you put the ball, all the balls back into the rack, and then now you can take all those balls and you can move them anywhere you want to around the table. Well, that's what happens also when we need to have molecular type of organization. So in our light particles, in our molecules are now moving in a very coherent type of manner. And that's where Trivortex technology comes along, is that we have the technology, a very simple type of thing called the Trivortex disc. It goes into a treatment chamber for 24 hours, comes out, and then when it's put next to any type of liquid, the liquid goes into what's called sympathetic resonance with the disc itself and creates that left-handed spin, molecular spin within the water
Brian,
itself.
Brian, let me just ask you the question. You really triggered me when you said left-handed spin, because I was studying Reiki a few years ago, and in that booklet they were talking about, I'm not sure anymore about what spin they did contraceptions, and they had such a huge amount of defect or impact on the newborns. And then they changed the spin. So I was really, caught by that when you said that the universe or everything in the universe has a left spin.
Well, let's put it this way. The traditional scientists, again, besides also discovering that there is a phosphorus sheath, by also, the traditional scientists looking down at the molecular level of cells through microscopes and various other types of devices and instruments, they've been able to definitely ascertain that the molecules and the light particles within those within those molecules all turn in a left-handed spin. So it's all counterclockwise. Everything goes counterclockwise in our biological systems. If you're a biological system, human, animal, and plant, we all go left spin. A calcium some sort of carbon that's in a rock, most likely they will go into a right spin. But all biological chemical elements all go left spin.
It's just so fascinating. I'm sorry. I had to add that.
Good. Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Yeah. So again, it'd be interesting if what they say are left or right. Now, again, when you're doing more of a left spin type of thing, even if you just stand and you turn left, you spin yourself in a counterclockwise type of ways, you're basically adding energy. And then if you want to then sort of like gear down and you're ready to go to sleep, then a right-handed spin, just simply spinning your body in the right, basically, again, kind of like slows all that left-hand spin, allows you to then relax and have a more thorough type of sleep.
Wow, thank you. That was a pretty amazing tip. That's great. Sorry for the interruption.
No problem. So, but again, the thing that makes everything work is the Trivortex technology treatment chamber. That all came about by a chemistry book that I discovered in the laboratory of Cleve Baxter. He was very famous for The Secret Life of Plants. All of his research is based upon that. And he and I rented space, or I had space in Cleve's lab. We did not per se work together in we had separate projects. I was working on water and he was working on plants and his communication type of thing. And I was working more towards water and that type of thing. But I found a chemistry book dated in 1901 on his shelf. Somebody was doing some alchemy experiments in the laboratory a couple years before I was there, and they forgot their book, and Cleve could never get back in contact with them. But I looked inside of this 1901 chemistry book for doctors, dentists, and nurses, and they had a table of the elements, and they had placed it on a spiral. And then there were 20 radial lines coming out from the center, straight lines, and then where every time the straight line crossed the spiral line, they would put a chemical element. Well, in 1901, most of the chemical elements, or a lot of them, had not been discovered. By the time I saw the table in 1992, then we had our 92, or there's also 96, actually, basic chemical elements. So as far as I know, I was the very first person to take the chemical elements as they are modern today and put them into this spiral table. And what I really noticed in the beginning then is this is all just harmonics. Everything is just a harmonic type of way of the chemical elements relating to another, that type of thing. And so then I deducted that there has to be a certain geometric type of form that is basic to all chemical elements, and it's just a variation of the theme after that. And I feel I found that structure in Egypt. The Great Pyramid of Egypt, the walls of the Great Pyramid of Egypt are slightly indented. They discovered this in the 1920s when airplanes came about, and some of the first airplanes that flew over the Great Pyramid, they discovered that the walls were slightly indented on the Great Pyramid. There was a couple of researchers by the name of Bill Shule and Ed Pettit. They did a laser beam study, and they put a laser beam into a scale model of this pyramid, and they put a front-sided mirror inside. And then they just followed the mirror around, and wherever it reflected, they put another mirror, and they kept doing that. And then at a certain point, when they did their first experiment, was done with just a flat-walled pyramid, no indentation, and the laser beam went off nowhere. They started pushing in the walls of the pyramid, and lo and behold, that laser beam at a certain point went directly into the King's Chamber area. So basically what we're looking at in the Great Pyramid is a prism. So what I started doing is I then discovered that I mathematically proved that there has to also be a three-sided pyramid inside of the four-sided pyramid. So the Great Pyramid actually is a three-sided pyramid with a four-sided pyramid built around it. But their walls are slightly indented. So I came across a program called AutoCAD, and I put these forms out on a piece of paper with the walls indented. And I did a mathematical formula. I'm not a mathematician, but I found a mathematical formula that you could follow and actually bring the indentations down at a real step type of manner. And I printed it out on one piece of paper. And I got a glass of juice and a glass of wine and put it over the paper. Well, nothing happened. Nothing changed. Nothing was different. So then what I did is I did a very specific type of pattern where I put just a portion of that graphic on one piece of paper and then spread it on another piece of paper, another. And basically what I ended up with is a stack of papers about 1 inch thick. And they all had a little portion of that graphic. Then I got my glass of juice and wine. Both Cleve and I were doing the testing, and we put it over the top of there, and lo and behold, it radically changed the taste of the wine and the juice. Wow. And then I put the same these stack of papers, I put them into a box and secured them all. And then when I pointed that box at people's pain and illnesses, it relieved the pain, and many times it actually even relieved the illnesses. And so the what I created was this vortex coming off of these stack of papers. And when I found out also when I put a dome on top of that, it actually magnified it. So it was all the experiments. And about that same time, a computer program came out called CoolEdit Pro. And you could take an audio signal and you could control the phase and the amplitude, and then the frequency. And so there, when I compared the two of the numbers that I was dealing with in geometry over in the AutoCAD program, I felt that I could take some of those numbers and transfer them over and literally then make a electromagnetic shape in pyramid types of shapes also. And so I had to do a little bit of adjustments, and I brought those numbers over and I put them into this computer program. I set up speakers And then put the wine in between the speakers, and lo and behold, it changed the wine. And so now that was a whole other type of level. And then one day I was doing an experiment, and the speaker wire somehow came off of both speakers. I still don't know how that happened to this day, but the experiment still worked. So what I was doing, I was going from a computer to an amplifier, and then from the wire to the speaker. But what changed the liquid then was the wire that was coming off of the amplifier was actually then doing all the job. That was changing the liquid. The actual audio sound itself wasn't doing it. It actually worked better without the speaker. That then led to building an antenna out of that speaker wire. And then what I did is I went out and bought a new sewer pipe, and it was, you know, a large sewer pipe. And then antennas were put on both sides of the pipe, and then domes on both sides of those. I also put graphics. And then, of course, it was connected to the amplifier and the computer. And then anything that goes inside of this Trivortex chamber for 24 hours has all these unique characteristics. And that's how the Trivortex disc is then created. As I have that up on the Trivortex website, that's trivortex.com, TRIVORTEX.com, describing the Trivortex disc. And it's put in there for 24 hours. And then after it comes out, for the next 8 to 10 years, that disc is going to be able to, when you put any type of liquid on top of it, it will change the taste of the liquid and then turn that liquid into the fuel for our Ferrari bodies.
Brian, just let me ask you this. When you said for 10 years, so how will people recognize that, you know, that the disc is not working?
Then basically they can do a simple taste test. That's always when you first receive your disc, I always recommend you do some juice or some wine. Do something of a tart taste, not just water, but do a tart taste type of liquid. And if you have the entire bottle of the liquid, make sure it's not anywhere near the disc. You pour one glass, take that glass and put it across the room and make sure it's not anywhere near the disc. Then you pour another, what you do is you take the entire bottle and you put it on the disc and leave it there for 2 to 3 minutes. Then pour off another glass and then walk that glass to the other glass where it was not treated. Then you do a smell test. First, you smell them and then you taste them. And if you don't see any difference, then you know the disc is not working.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
And so it's a very simple type of thing. You also can do it with pain. One of the things you can do also is with the disc is that it's a stretch test. You have the person stand up and lock their knees and touch their toes. And they just go down and they come back up. They don't hold it. And then everybody, no matter if you're a couch potato or if you're a yoga instructor, everybody has a catch point. And so what you do then is you put the disc on the you put the disc on the on the base of the spine for 1 minute and then maybe 30 seconds and then you put the disc on the area that was that catch point. It could be at the back, it could be the hamstrings, it could be something like that. And so then have them sit down maybe for about like a minute or so, then stand back up, lock their knees again, and attempt to touch their toes. And I have seen as much as 6 inches difference of being able to reach further. And then of course, then that catch point is much relieved. So that's a great way of demonstrating the Trivortex is through a stretch test. Also, if the person has any type of pain, it's very good for that. My mother, one of her best friends, had a ovary type of surgery. It was done by a robot, and it tied part of her muscle structure that was holding up the ovary to her backbone. And so they gave her the highest dosage of Vicodin that you can take. and she had already been using the disc before, so she had put the disc on the area because they told her where they were going to do the attachment. So she pre-did that before the surgery, and immediately after surgery, she had it put it on, and she never filled the Vicodin prescription whatsoever. She had no pain simply by applying the disc to the area. And that's just one of many, many, many stories we've had over the years. So not only does the disc do hydration, but it also does very other types of issues. And the reason being is because what is the disc actually working on? It's working on the liquids. Understand, we're 99% water. So if that water is disorganized, then that's fatigue, that's pain, that's disease. And that's exactly what the disc works on, is then the organizing the liquids and the various hormones and secretions, etc., within that area. And I guess it's a 3-inch type of disc. Say that you've taken a wrong step and you've twisted your knee. And so basically I recommend that you take two discs and wrap them or with the ACE wrap. And it's amazing what it will do for any types of injuries, etc. So it gives us, first off, the opportunity to any type of liquid that you put in your body. As you know, I'm a big proponent of distilled water that has been changed. I'm a big proponent of that. But at the same time, any liquid, it doesn't matter what liquid it is that has been put on the disc, it's going to absorb better. It's going to bring that liquid to a far more absorbable level, and as I said before, brings that liquid to the Ferrari level that we are. So rather than putting that regular gasoline, i.e. just normal water, and now you can have the high, fuel, you can have that high quality type of fuel or liquid being put in your body that is transformed and provided by the Trivortex products, and especially the Trivortex disc.
Yeah, Brian, I wanted to actually some kind of clarification here. As I was reading your booklet, as you were saying, you are very, a fan of the distilled water. So my question is, does that really have to be distilled water? Because I totally understand what you're talking about, but sometimes it's just like, when you were talking about that, there are two substances that deadened and destroy the normal function of the human senses, which is caffeine and alcohol. I mean, it was a really heartbreaking story for me. It's like, okay, do I have to give up my coffee? Brian, don't break my dream.
Coffee, I'm big, the whole caffeine in South America and in even Native American, it was all used in ceremonials. Caffeine and nicotine were strictly a ceremonial type of substance used by the Native Americans, both South America and North America. It's been the European that has now picked up on those substances and used it on a daily type of basis. And
thank you. I'm coming from Europe, Brian, so you will understand me.
Well, and that's where, again, is that, but understand the caffeine, though, that and nicotine are the most dehydrating substances that you can have. And basically, once you have even small amounts of caffeine in your body, it takes a tremendous amount of water then to keep yourself where you're hydrated. Many people ask me, so, well, how much water should you drink? And I did not come up with this formula, but I feel it has a tremendous amount of validity. And that is that when you pee, you look into the toilet, and if you're pee is just a slight yellow. The water is just a slight yellow. You're okay. If the more darker yellow it goes, the more dehydrated you are. So you either want something either clear, slightly yellow, but as it gets more yellow and yellow and yellow in, and that's leaving the toilet water that color, then you know that you're dehydrated and you need to increase your hydration.
Okay. Also, the question for you would be, again, so even though if I am looking forward to drink my coffee, if I use the disc, would that help me to harmonize the coffee?
Yeah. I don't like to encourage that, but yes, it would definitely help in the absorption. The negative aspects of the caffeine will be minimized. Let's put it that way. Yes. Yes, and it actually will taste better too. Your coffee will be much, much better tasting.
Well, you know, I have to kind of add something here. It's not just coffee and alcohol, but also pharmaceutical drugs too. You were talking about dehydrating the human body.
Yeah, the statin drugs all have coal tar as their base.
Yes. Yes,
and
so exactly.
And it's a minute amounts in every pill, but as you then take them over a period of time, say over a 1 year period of time, that amount starts to collect, and that coal tar then basically you're again behind the eight ball. You're in a negative type of way, is that you're constantly in the state of dehydration, and it's always in a major challenge to stay hydrated. With when you're taking statin drugs or you're drinking coffee, and to a certain degree also when you're taking you're doing any type of alcohol, that's how it also happened with Cleve Baxter. I had a preliminary type of discovery that I did with an electronic type of device. I met him. I was introduced to Cleve Baxter through an astrologer by the name of Linda Goodman.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we were both very, very dear friends of Linda. And
I love astrology.
I was talking with Cleve there, and I said, hey, Cleve, I got this great thing. I said, when it changes the taste of the wine, this is what my electronic thing did before. That was before this. And I said, it changes the taste of the wine. It makes it taste better. And I said, if you drink just a little bit of water, that's also changed by it. But I said, you can drink any amount of wine, and the next day you have hardly any hangover. And he goes, yeah, okay, great. And so he said, why don't you come back Saturday night? And I said, okay, great. I didn't know what – I just thought he wanted to talk. And on the counter there was not the 750 liter, but the larger size, two of those. And they were Chardonnays. And he said, okay, let's take out. So in the name of science, we drank that wine for an experiment for him. And both bottles over like a 5 hour period. And we're drinking water. So the next day, I called Cleve up and I said, hey, you know, what's going on? Now, Cleve was one of the top polygraph examiners in the world, and that's how he discovered his thing with plants. And so here's this polygraph examiner. He says, well, he said, I wasn't totally honest with you. He said, actually, I'm allergic to wine.
And I said, oh, wow.
And he said, oh, really? I thought, oh, damn, you know, I thought maybe I made him sick or something.
You're in trouble. Yeah,
uh-huh. And he said, this is amazing. He said, I have no hangover. He says, I feel great. I mean, he was just like going on and on about how he felt compared to, you know, he was expecting to have headaches and be sick and everything. And he said, I feel like I didn't drink anything at all. So again, what we were doing though is we changed it with the disc, and we were also, for every two glasses of wine we had, we always had one glass of water that was also changed. And so that kept us hydrated, and it was also kept it organized, and then there was no hangover the next day. So he said, well, how can I help? And he said, you know, I got some lab space here. Would you like to have some lab space? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, I said, well, you know, how long do you need? And I said, well, you know, a couple months, something like that. Well, that 2 months turned into 15 years.
Wow.
So that's when I found it wasn't until about 2 or 3 years later that I found that chemistry book. And so it was just an evolution that I had. But everything, most of the core of Trivortex technology was discovered in Cleve's laboratory in San Diego. And we could actually do a whole radio program just on Cleve and all the various things that we did with him over the years, and that whole book, The Secret Life of Plants. So, but again, is that if you're going to be drinking coffee, you're going to be drinking any type of alcohol, that type of thing. For cigarettes, it's really, really tough. I mean, there's hardly anything that I know of that can overcome the devastating impact that nicotine has on the body. So smoking, I don't know of any hydration that can really help that out. So, but if you are,
I'm just concerned about coffee.
For those listeners out there that are smoking, and they think that they're gonna have a miracle, forget it. It's not gonna happen. So, but for caffeine and nicotine, yes, that the disc could help, but also at the same time, you also need to make a commitment to hydration. And I feel the best way to do it, and what I do at my home is I bought 5-gallon beer dispenser type of containers. They're made out of stainless steel. I also bought a Berkey filter made out of stainless steel, and I go to the store and I put all of my distilled water inside of there. I put my disc underneath, and then I let it degas out. If you're going to do any type of distilled water, you need to put it into some sort of container, and you buy it at the store. You need to pour the container, pour that water out into some sort of steel or glass container, and then let it degas for 24 hours. At the same time, it has the Trivortex energies from the disc. Once that water is done, it is absolutely the very best water. Once you start drinking that and you drink any other type of water, it's going to taste like sand going down your throat when you drink anything else. Now, if you have a distiller, then same thing. All you have to do is put the disc on top of the distiller, and that's all you need to do, because basically now it's changed. And for myself, is I have not found a distiller yet that's very difficult to keep clean.
Mm-hmm. Also, I have a question, for instance, Brian, if you're traveling maybe outside in the nature, or, you know, camping or something, and you don't have all this stuff with you, what could people do, you know, because I myself like to go outside in the nature. So, and yeah. If I spend maybe a few days, so, you know, do you have anything that you can recommend that we could use, or do we just use the disc?
Well, it just depends on, again, how light you're traveling. You know, mm-hmm. If you're going out in a car and you're going to be having a tent and then you're going to be going out from there, then there's no reason why you couldn't bring your own distilled water with you. Now, if you don't have that, you know, bring it in the quantities, you know, type of thing, and then you can put it in stainless steel containers. If you don't have any access towards that, they do have now these Berkey filters that you can filter the water.
Oh, okay.
And,
mm-hmm.
And that even if you got bottled water, I still recommend putting them through the Berkey filters. To give it that extra type of cleanliness. Still not as good as distilled, but that's also one way of doing it, is the Berkey distilled through the filters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brian, I would also actually like to you to talk to us about reducing negative effect from cell phones, smart meters, and AC electricity, and also about this light particle assimilator of vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. These two are very, very kind of interest for me.
Okay. All right. What is our time like?
We have around 18 more minutes. So.
Okay. Well, I will try to move through this very quickly then.
Actually, 15.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So basically what happened is I had a knee problem. And I knew that probably there was hyaluronic acid that was lacking in my knee between the bone and the cartilage. So I took a tablet of hyaluronic acid and I put it on my knee, and it didn't work, of course. I took that same tablet and I put it in the Trivortex treatment chamber for 24 hours, brought it back out, and now here's this hyaluronic acid that's been treated. My knee is in really bad shape. This is about 2004, 2005. I put this treated hyaluronic acid on my knee, and within minutes, I was having relief on my knee. And what had happened is the light particles of the hyaluronic acid were excited by the treatment chamber. And so when I put it over the area that needed the hyaluronic acid, that hyaluronic acid just flew right through, because it was in the right type of structure. And when we talked about that phosphor sheath, it just flew right through that mm-hmm. phosphor sheath and then built itself up. And to this day, I still have not had any type of problems with that knee. What I did, next thing I did, is I took some of the hyaluronic acid and I put it into a baggie. And I started wearing it over my chest, and the baggie and the hyaluronic acid had also been treated in the chamber. And then about 10 days later, I took the hyaluronic acid thing off of my knee just to see what would happen, and it still had some pain to it, and I had to put it back on. About the 25th day, I took the hyaluronic acid off my knee, and lo and behold, I had no pain in the knee. And to that day, I still have no pain whatsoever. And that,
it
all
came
I do,
back?
never came back.
Wow.
And the reason being is that now that hyaluronic acid was over my heart area, And what seemed to have happened is that the hyaluronic acid built up in the electromagnetic fields of the body, those light particles that were excited, and they were now going into electromagnetic fields, and then they're floating all around the body. If the body needed a particular vitamin and nutrient, it pulled it up, and that's what I call now light particle assimilation, where the light particles of the vitamins and nutrients flow right through that phosphorus sheath and right into the cell. So then I also took a more vitamins and nutrients, and I put it into a pouch. And one of my distributors out of Phoenix, Arizona, was in recession or remission of cancer, ovarian cancer, but nothing from Trivortex. And her doctor wanted her to take what's called a SpectraCell test. And what they do is they take some of the blood and they put a nutrient inside the blood, and they can look then how that nutrient grows, the time that it grows in and how much. They can say, okay, you're detriment of this, you're deficient or you're sufficient or not. And so she did, her medical doctor wanted her to take this test. Now, she had already been wearing this pouch of vitamins over her heart for 30 days. So when the test came back, SpectraCell called the doctor and said, you need to pull that patient in. They are overdosing on minerals. They're probably taking like 4 or 5, maybe even up to 10 doses of minerals a day, thinking that this is helping out. And you need to do toxicity tests on the kidneys and bladder. The doctor, my distributor went to the doctor. The doctor shaking her finger at my distributor and said, you know, you got to stop taking, you know, you're taking all these vitamins and nutrients and all these minerals. He said that's not doing you any good. We're going to have to check you out for all this, you know, your toxicity. And my distributor looked at the doctor and said, but doctor, I've never taken a vitamin or nutrient ever in my life.
Oh, my God.
And that's but I'm worried. I said, but I'm wearing this. And the doctor, of course, that put the doctor in overcharge and didn't want to even hear about it. But that what that did is their cousins said that pardon me, cousins said that when the body is in stress, it will pull up more vitamins and nutrients. So her body needed those minerals, being in that remission for cancer, and it was pulling it through the Tri-Vibes. And so they did the kidney and bladder tests, and everything was negative. There was no toxicity whatsoever. And what she also noticed is when I sent the baggie out to her, it had just a small little bit of smell, but not very much. And when she first got it, she said she noticed that, hey, there was just a little bit. But she said after about an hour that she put it on, she said this thing just reeked of smell. And then she left it on. She said about the 20th day, she said then it wasn't that I got used to it. It's because my friends noticed it. Said after about the 20th day, it stopped smelling, which means is that it was working. Those light particles were literally getting pulled out and into the body and now circulating around. So we also then did a clinical trial with these. We gave 10 people a real thing. We gave 10 people a placebo. And the blood tests were done on everybody before they put the amulets on. And then a blood test were done 40 days later. And statistically, the group that was given the real thing, all of their values just skyrocketed. They went to either just below deficient or just too non-deficient. And the other group stayed about the same. Their vitamin B levels went up, and we were trying to figure out what that was all about. But I had used flour as my placebo. And they have to enrich flour with vitamin B's. So the vitamin B's actually spiked a little bit, even with but they do it at like in minuscule amounts of the vitamin B. So even with that minuscule amounts, it was spiking some of the people on their vitamin B's, but nothing were in deficiency. So the clinical trial that we did proved that there is something to the Tri-Vibes. So it comes in a pouch form, which is $99, and then it comes in a stainless steel amulet. That's then $299, and then it comes in a gold-plated type of amulet, which is a disc and a triangle-shaped, both. We have two of those, and those are gold-plated. And from everything we've seen so far, the gold does work much better.
Of course, yeah, it's a different conductor of energy.
Yeah, it pulls, it really pushes that, or pulls, or whatever you want to say it, through that phosphorus sheath it really flows it through. Of course, the gold plating costs more, and those are $3.99. Now, if you were to go out and buy those same type of vitamins and nutrients that are inside of, I mean, we just pack it full of various kinds of vitamins and nutrients. So that amulet actually has vitamins and nutrients in it, all the way from blackstrap molasses to hyaluronic acid, etc. If you were to go out and buy those for, let's say, a couple of years, it would cost you probably around $1,500 to $2,000 over a three-year period. And the tribibes will last anywhere between 7 to 8 years.
That's what I was looking for the longevity. What's the longevity of them?
And one of the reasons why that was a motivation also to create the tribibes was that there's a thing called Codex Alimentarius, which also now is pretty much runs in Europe. It's very difficult when you walk into a health food store, you really can't buy vitamins and nutrients. You have to go to your doctor, or if you do, it's very low dosages. And they're trying to bring that to the United States, where they're going to put all of the vitamins and nutrients under control, and you have to go get a doctor's prescription. And with this Tribibes now, basically that will then bypass all of that. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, though, if you're already taking your vitamins and nutrients now and you are very much dedicated to taking vitamins and nutrients, my question to you is that, do you know every day that when you take those, of what you're absorbing and what you're not, especially if there's something emotional going on or even an environmental type of thing? Nobody knows how much you're really absorbing that day. So what the Tribibes will do is fill in those gaps. The days that you are not absorbing, due to whatever type of reason, the Tribibes will fill in. For those persons who do not take vitamins and nutrients, this could be something very much of an advantage, because a lot of people then that don't like to take vitamins, they can simply wear their vitamins rather than taking them orally. And that's, I'm 63 years old. I play full court basketball with 20-year-olds. I wear my vitamins and nutrients. What I also do is I take that Trivortex disc after I play, and I'll throw it in the bathtub, and I'll put a little bit of salt in the bathtub, and the salt becomes the extension of the disc. And then I soak myself for 20 minutes. I come out of the bathtub. I put back on my Tribibes. And lo and behold, all of that soreness and all that ickiness and pain and everything
gone.
Is totally gone. And I'm always blown away, even though I'm the inventor of it. When you experience that yourself, it's like, what happened here? You know, this is, you know, it's every day it's like something, you know, like, who did this? What happened here? So, so that's why I always recommend, if you have like a twisted knee, you would put the Tribibes on one side of the knee and then a disc on the other side. And then you rotate it around, because then you're getting both nutrients and you're getting the Trivortex energies both ways. The discs also come just like the Tribibes do, is we have a stainless steel version and we also have a gold-plated version. And the gold-plated, of course, is more powerful than the stainless steel, but it just depends on what your budget is. It's like the difference between a Ford Taurus and a Ford Lincoln. I mean, that's basically what we're doing here, is different models have different types of things. So, and then the next thing also is that this got in the whole area of stem cells. Before we go into a lot of things about stem cells, is this is where, again, hydration also, I believe, plays a major, major role. Is if you are dehydrated, the bone marrow is where all of our stem cells come from. And if you are dehydrated, you are not going to be pushing out and creating the stem cells. That's almost an accepted fact by a lot of the stem cell people that are into research. It's interesting, some of the doctors aren't that way. But the hydration is very important in stem cell production. In stem cells, you first off want to produce, and stem cells maybe also means baby cell. It's like what happens is the cell comes out of the bone marrow, which is like your shin bone and all of your bones, and it comes out, and now its DNA is turned off. And it's really metaphysical in a way. So this turned off DNA cell floats around the body. And then wherever it's needed, somehow, I think it's through electromagnetic fields of the body, it's turned on. And that DNA turns on, and then it becomes a cell like a heart cell. It becomes the lung cell. It becomes a liver cell, or it becomes a skin cell. It's very metaphysical.
Brian, do you have actually things research on how to what to do to regenerate the teeth?
I'm actually doing my own little experiment right now.
Give me a call.
But basically, for right now, it's looking like you actually have to have stem cells themselves at the current technology level. I believe there's other ways that you can also, and it'd be an experimental type of way of doing it. But yes, I do believe that there is a way of doing that. So one of the next thing is that there is a unit, it's a sound unit. It puts out sound. And it looks like a little hammer, and it was made in Germany back in the 1970s. It's been out on the market for a long time. What I did then is the handle will break apart, and I injected inside of there a pouch, a little plastic pouch of Tri-Vibes up inside of the head. Then I took that entire unit and I put it into the Tri-Vortex chamber and let it all, be treated. And what I then theorized is that what's happening is the sound wave that's coming out, the sound wave goes from 60 hertz to 10,000 hertz. And what I theorized is that the sound wave is now becoming a carrier for the vitamins and nutrients. Again, the same distributor out of Phoenix was working with somebody that had diabetes, and she bought one of my units, one of my first units. And this diabetic, his left leg was in very bad shape and was almost ready for amputation. And so what she did is she went up and down the shin bone and the all over the leg that was having problems, and especially where she was going is up and down the shin bone. And then within 30 days, the leg was totally turned around. It was totally normal. And what's also, too, is that his insulin levels also balanced out. And so that was very, very
cute. Brian, listen, we will have to kind of cut that. Do you have this on your website? Because we are getting to the end, and I would like you to let our listeners know how to get in contact with you.
Again, through the Tri-Vortex website. That's Tri-Vortex.com. Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to give me a call, 619-884-1455 or Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at Tri-Vortex.com.
And also the people, they can actually get your booklet from your website, can they?
Yes, for free.
Yes, that was amazing. I appreciate that. Listen, Brian, that was so amazing. So I really appreciate, and there's so much more that we can talk about. And will you be willing to come back? And sometimes in the future, we can continue to talk about this stuff?
Very much so.
Okay, well, listen, thank you so much, and I want appreciate for you being here, and we have to kind of, right now, we are done with that, so the time is over, so good night, everybody, and thank you so much, and have a great end of the year.
Thank you.
Until next time. Good night.